This is James Robertson, Syncom Smalltalk Product Evangelist, bringing you another talk from the European Smalltalk Users Group meeting held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008.
Let's pretend that this is real. Let's say this freely.
Here's Rob Benz talking about exploratory modeling at ESUG 2008.
I've got half an hour to talk about something that has taken me years to understand, so I have to distill things, but I thought the best way to do it was just to do it. And at the end, I hope that I will have some time left to reflect on specifically on the projects that we have been doing with using exploratory modeling techniques. But let's just begin, and for that I think the best thing would be to start up my image. I think because when I do an exploratory modeling session with customers, I have to tell a story first. If I do not tell this story first, they will just stay in their own familiar mind frame. And this might work because many of the modelers that I've met in the past tried to talk the talk of the business, the language of the business. But there's a problem there because the business does not know how to express themselves. They don't have a language to express themselves. Maybe we think they have a language, maybe they think they have a language, but in reality, most of the language that business uses to explain to us what they want is something like a baby talk, because they think we are morons, and they are so used to do it this way that they automatically fall into this language, using this language. So the first thing I have to show them is that I'm not such a moron as they think I am, and that maybe I am able to understand what they're talking about. It's also the other way around. Business is hampered by IT. So IT is something they need. They have to had to live with it for many years. And because they had such a lot of problems using IT, they started to use the language of IT to a certain extent. Especially finance, financial institutions, they more or less talk as if they are computer technologists. They try to help us by moving towards us to use a language that they think we understand. Nobody is aware of this. Most of the people that I talk to, they don't realize that this is happening, and that's why we are. Language is very important. I think language is very important, and language has all kinds of things that are on a philosophical level very interesting to talk about. I want that now. But when I start talking with the customer, I try to explain to them that the world that they live in is a world that we are trying to mirror into our software. And that the way we mirror the real world into the software that we are going to build for them is not the way that they think it has been done, or it is usually done. It's different. It's, for us small talkers, a world that we should understand, and I'm a bit disappointed in most of the talk that I listened to up to now. This aspect of the real living objects in the small dog world is not, emphasized, or maybe it's too evident for us, I'm not sure. So, but for the businesses, this is important. I try to explain to them that the software world is a mirror world that mirrors the real world. But in a mirror, things are not exactly the same as they are in the real world. This is a mistake that many of the modelers that I know make. They make the mistake of trying to replicate the real world as it is. It should not be done that way. The mirror should turn a few things upside down. And this is something the business also has to understand. So I tell stories. I like to tell stories and just relax. I tell the audience just to relax and let some of the stories come over you. And maybe this will help, and this is what stories can do very good. Maybe this will help to put you into another mindset, into another attitude. There are two things that I always emphasize, that when you mirror the real world into the software world, things become alive. And living things become dead. The real world contains living beings like yourself, users of the system, customers buying stuff. In the mirrored world in the software, those real living beings are more or less incapacitated, and they are passive. They don't do anything. But the passive things in the real world, like accounts or products or transactions, they become alive. It's like a fairy, you know, with a magic wand. Touched by the fairy wand, and you become alive. It's what I like to call the world of Roger Rabbit, the world of Disney. You know, teacups walking around. Tea makes itself. Doors open themselves. Stories tell themselves. Products sell themselves. It's always nice to talk to a customer and say, well, you don't need any account managers anymore because the stuff is going to sell itself in the software, in the mirrored world. And this is one of the aspects that I always, it's a bit strange, it's more difficult to explain to computer people than to business people. Because many of the computer people that I know are always working with data and, you know, moving data around. So after telling these stories, and there are a few pictures that need to be shown. Sorry, I do have a remote control. I like to use it explorer mode is a very nice term, I think. I was really captured. The term itself, it captures for me very properly what I want to talk about. So for me, I like to see XM much more around, you know, like X. I'm still programming. This should be we should make use of this. I'll be talking about this when we go into it. Sales talk, sorry.
It's a whole eight slices in the cut.
Yeah, this is what I want to show, because I'm not sure. One of the things that also amazes me, I haven't heard one person talking about domain-driven design. And for me, and I think this is very important for the small community, we have a few sales pitches to make, to think about. One is, of course, the fact that dynamic languages are becoming popular, so this is one of the things that we can use. The other one is that closures are becoming popular, and suddenly Spanish is not so esoteric anymore, I think. But the other thing is also domain-driven design. In domain-driven design, I try to make a very specific split between what is business and what is technology.
But this is a fairly official split, isn't it? It's what you hear in the model-driven community as when somebody makes a new language, generating stuff, whether he has ended up with a language that's mapped to the solution domain or a language that's mapped to the problem domain. And that's always the mistake that you see, that people think in terms of the solution, the tools you have, instead of in terms of what you need.
You know, we are technologists. We think in solutions. We don't think in terms of problems. Business people don't like the term problem either, but that's another story. the problem domain or the business domain or the domain, as I like to call it, because technology also has its own domain, of course. But that's a solution domain. We know this from design. You know, design. You try to separate those things, but somehow in software, in the architecture that we realize, this separation is never clean. And I would like to fight for the understanding that we can make it completely, almost completely clean. The separation can be completely clean. We can make systems that are separating technology completely from what we are doing in business. And this is an example. It's just a small visualization of what I mean. You have a component library, and it contains all the solution components, all the technology that you need to make a realization. And the customer who wants to have a system will eventually receive something that contains lots of components from this solution domain. And when I'm talking to, you know, for the modeling, for the business modeling, this is a given. It's not interesting. It's a standard product. We can buy it from others. We can make it ourselves. It should be a commodity. But what we own as a company or as a business is the business domain. The domain consisting of living objects that are mirrored in this way that I talked about. And usually this is, I couldn't get this thing working, but normally I have this animated and it's breathing, you know, it's moving, it's alive. And what you do is you draw these technological components from the library, you connect them some way using a very simple technology. We have this in most of the small books that we have adapters, okay. Connect technology with business. Using an event mechanism to know what's coming in there, and using messages to connect to the domain. The mirroring effect is a synchronizing effort. The only thing that you need the technology for is not because the technology is cool or nice. The only thing the only reason you have to use technology is you need something, some channel to synchronize business, the mirrored model, with the real world. If you look at it from this perspective, suddenly things fall into place. It makes it a lot simpler to connect all that stuff. And if we do exploratory modeling, we can concentrate on what needs to be here. It's very important that people realize we don't talk about computers, we don't talk about technology, we don't need technology. In fact, technology should be invisible, even in the systems that we build. We only talk about this, and, oh, well, normally we have to talk about, you know, user interface design or performance or all kinds of non-functional. It is necessary, but it doesn't have any impact at all for the business model. And this is something that we can talk about afterwards and discuss. I don't know if you agree. So these are a few of the attributes of this domain model, the active, passive, you know what I talked about, active objects become passive in the mirror world and vice versa. The other one is time reversal. This is something that I'm going to show when we start modeling. Because not only active passive is turned around or upside down, but also time is turned around in the modeling phase. Also, I'm a bit annoyed that this time inversion technique is almost never used. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Not really. Yeah. Shame on you.
Shame on you for not telling that earlier.
When I'm going to show it, some people, I'm sure, will recommend it. I just put a label on it, time reversion. And it's constantly moving, it's changing, it's alive, it's not passive, it's not data, it's not a machine, it's not a clockwork, it's not a steam engine. It's living beings that have to purposes in life, trying to be happy. One of the important things, and this is something that I hope you'll, you know, find a place somewhere in your brain and pop up later, but to annoy you when you were asleep and you suddenly find yourself awake, what does it mean? But not changing existing components. In the systems that I model and build and that evolve over the years, existing components are never modified. The only way we modify an existing system is by adding new components. So you don't have any problems with, you know, so I hope is there anybody who has an idea about maybe a simple or maybe a complex problem domain that we could do? This is a risk I'm taking, I'm hoping it will work out. Let's build a solution for a customer. Does anybody have a customer problem that we can tackle? It may very well be complex, because I'm going to show you that time reversal makes things very simple to start. There's always a problem, you know, where you sit with a customer and where do we begin? It's always very easy to know where to begin, and I'm going to show you. I hope.
Maybe it's a simple problem, maybe not. Now you can choose. I heard a long time ago that it was a company that has that handles in old metal materials. And it brings to the customer nice containers. Customer can put in some stuff in it, and at the end of the year, 400 containers are missing. Boom, bam. And now they want to have some possibility to figure out where the 400 containers are.
Ah, okay.
Can you repeat it?
It's a company that recycles old metal,
yeah.
I guess. And this is gathered and put in containers, and the containers are maybe moved to a central site where the stuff is recycled. And they miss containers. By the end of the year, there are 400 containers missing. Something has happened along the way that they could not understand.
Now they are looking for a software solution.
Yes, so maybe we should track this stuff and, you know, put RFID.
That's a solution domain.
Yeah, that's a solution domain. Where do we start when this customer is sitting in the same room as I am? Where do I start tackling this problem? I start at the end. So I ask the customer, I ask the business expert, what do you want to accomplish? What is your goal? What's the final situation that you want to find yourself in? You begin at the end. You don't begin at the beginning. You model your processes, because processes will be modeled finally. You know, we're talking about business modeling, and processes may be important or interesting. You model your processes not by starting at the beginning and, you know, and then you do that, and then maybe you do that, and then you do that. This is what you are doing in, you know, in business process modeling techniques, which is very bad, and I'm really amazed that it's resurfacing again, all the old problems of workflow systems and stuff like that. It's really terrible. And it's not necessary, it's really stupid also, because many of the modern companies are not using that kind of thinking at all anymore. Modern management science companies are modeling their processes in a completely different way. I always have examples from Toyota or Nike. So what is the final situation? That's a question that we need to find an answer for, that you want to be in. When are you happy?
And I lose no more money, because I have to buy 400 containers every year. So
yes,
at the end of the year, I will be sure that all my containers are on a place where I know
yes.
they are.
Yes, okay, so that's more like
okay.
it. Your containers arrive at the destination that they have to arrive to. So they have arrived at the final correct destination. and maybe they tell that, oh, we have a problem. So this is the situation that you want to be in. So what am I going to do when I'm starting up my... I'm doing this, by the way, in a vanilla VisualWorks image. You could use a squeak image. Not very interesting. And one of the things that amazed me when I was doing this this stuff is that you know, you have your browser, and what I need to do is create a package for it.
And why do you get a red stuff in a vanilla image?
Sorry? Well, this is not a vanilla image. I'm sure you'll realize that. This is my development image. Everything is in it. And I'm doing this stuff in a browser, and you would expect as a, you know, as a developer, and this is confusing for the customer. I've never had this problem. I only tell them that this, oh, I have to do some things to create something. Not important, don't pay attention. What we need is a container. So I'm going to make a container, and I'm going to leave this browser, and I'm going back to a workspace, and I'm going to say container new. This is all I'm doing. I'm opening an inspector on it. This is important because the whole process of modeling, when I do this, is driven by objects that I create, or that the customer creates, and these objects need to be embellished, you know, need to grow, need to evolve. They are alive, and they, most of the objects stay alive during the entire session, or several sessions. This container will probably live for a few days or maybe even a few weeks. Completely change during its lifetime. This is what we can do in small. You can never do this in anything else. And what do you want to do with this container? Well, the container needs to self-arrive. Maybe at the destination. This is something you need to discuss. Do you need more info? Is there enough information for the container to be happy, or for the goal that you want to accomplish, to be happy without any information, or maybe you need minimal information? And I'm going to send this message. It's very simple. Well, it doesn't work, of course, but I still proceed. And what happens is that I need a few extensions to the VisualWorks image or any image that I want to work in. So this is for the people that can provide that, or maybe I should do it. I need some dynamic ability to change stuff. Well, this is not, I'm leaving this all declared, and I'm just opening, you know, a debugger. Or in fact, I'm not even opening a debugger. I'm going to say, define it, and this nicely places me at the final step right before the customer is satisfied. So I'm already there. I already have built the system they want. The only thing I need to do now is to go back in time and find out the previous steps that have led me to this this situation of accomplishment. I am there. I'm already in heaven. So this needs to be a destination. Strange, you know, you open debuggers, you write code, and in all my sessions with customers, I've never had any complaint that this looks technology. It's not hindering them. It's very logical. And always I can show them this thing, you know, this object. This is the object. It would be nice if I could, you know, plug in some kind of a logo on it, or it will be more easily recognizable as a real container. But also that has never been a problem. I don't know if you are already starting to realize that this process of reverse engineering or reverse time, what is the last thing that I need to do before I can arrive at a destination? Again, I'm going back in time.
You need to leave from somewhere, I guess?
Or something like that.
Yes, traveling. Well, it could be unload. Let's do that. This is one of the things that you could easily explore, you know? It's very... Maybe that's not a good idea and somebody else would just say, no, it should be that way. It's, in fact, this is always happening with a customer. There are several experts and every expert has a different opinion about how it should be done. And even people from administration would look at the same problem from a completely different perspective than you know what I mean. It's very exciting. Self-unload at a destination, not the same situation. And this is exactly the same as what I did before. This is leading to the same problem. And again, we define it. This method does not exist. I'm almost at the end of time. I hope it looks very simple, but this is leading to a sort of a tree of all kinds of steps that may lead to this final moment of ultimate happiness. And all people that are involved, you know, administration, sales, the product builders, the drivers in the container vehicles, all people have their say, and maybe they all have something to add to this. Well, it's like a semantic web. And this is leading to a perfect solution. And when actually the system is executing after it has been built, you will find that it is a system that is non-deterministic. It will decide what is the best path or the best way to get this end situation by, you know, because the objects are more or less intelligent. There's one thing that I have not added yet in this system is the time awareness and that they can find out scenarios. This is a subject that I don't want to talk about now, but you will definitely hear from me in the future about combining simulation technology with object modeling to build systems that are time aware. This might be very interesting. Now, just a few of reflections on this project. We did this, we built, I was very happy that we had a customer that had a very complex problem domain. I built a few inspector extensions because I needed inspectors that would show me some more complicated structures than the regular inspectors do in VisualWorks. And I had to be able to drag and drop. This is very important for customers because they were starting after a few days modeling, building their own models, you know, dragging objects around in small quantities. But that's all, and the experience that I had was really amazing because they were ecstatic. It's very strange to describe, but they never had an experience like this, you know, in their own domain. They also had an experience which is somewhat familiar for most of you, I think, that they suddenly understood their own business, their own problem domain a lot better than before the sessions. Or even looked at their problem domain from a completely different perspective than before the sessions. I must admit, it's a goal that I want to achieve. And I think it's really great. It's really amazing. So I need to stop and there's a little time for questions.
Have you made any publicly available publications on this?
I'm constantly blogging about it, and I started with a book. I shouldn't say this here because you'll never know what happens. I have these tools on my website where you can do your own financing application, and I'm rewriting that application because that is more than 10 years old. I started working on it when these ideas were not so very explicit, and I'm using this personal finance system as a model or as an example for modeling and building systems this way. And So this might be interesting. And I'm going to publish this in bits and bytes because I don't believe in making a book and then when the book is finished showing it all to grow. You know, I think that I can have it. Okay, so there are a few, and we should really use, you know, things from domain-driven design, but the problem with domain-driven design is that it is too much technology-focused. I like Eric Evans, I think it's a good thing, but it's very technology-driven, it's very technology-focused.
On the other hand, I gave you those two terms that are already industry-standard terms. Problem domain and solution domain. These are the terms that you use. Yep. Yes. You use a lot more words for it.
Pushing,
like, you just use those two terms, they are very concise.
Yeah.
I think
that's
exactly what you're trying to say.
Yes, that's fine. Domain driven design is also very popular, you know, it's a hype at the moment. I don't know if you know this.
Normally it's predefined model driven design. I mean, so.
It's not model driven design, it's domain driven.
Domain.
Okay, sorry. It's different. It's not UML I'm talking about, you know. Domain-driven design is a design, an architecture, a system that is driven by the domain model, which is central, and just as I showed you, you know, the visualization, which is central in your architecture. More questions?
You said you'd enhance the inspectors with RAG ROC so the customers can understand. Do you find yourself with, for example, time constructs, enhancing them with just messages and ways of doing it so that you can actually make the method more readable? These sessions
no.
Point you to anything that
it's not
as expressive as it's.
I'm not sure if I understand you correctly. Small usually is simple enough that it looks like the normal language that they use.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but an important part. I want to say that before the time is up. I built an XMI exporter so that all these models are built and they can run, you know. They're not just a model, like a UML model. They have behavior, they are active, the objects do things. It's exported into XMI, it's imported into C#. For this project it was imported in C#. And the C# programmers saw before them all the class structures done for them already, and they saw the methods within the comments, the small code that implemented that method. But this was so trivial that you could hire a beginning C# programmer with a few weeks of small book training to do the translation. I don't believe that you can do this. You can ever do this, automatically. It should be the human involved. It was a trivial and simple exercise.
So you don't build a final system in Smalltalk, you just use it...
For this customer, it was not built, the final system was not in Smalltalk, it was a .NET application. Of course, I'm not talking about user interfaces, and I'm not talking about the database connections or persistency or anything, but all that was plugged into the domain. Could even run a server with a VisualWorks image on it, serving the business domain and firing up events by non-Smalltalk systems, which then connect to user interface or database. And the way I connect, for example, user interface with the domain or the database with the domain is exactly the same. There's no difference. The same plugin. My time's up. Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that talk from ESUG 2008, held in Amsterdam, the Netherlands, in August of 2008. If you did, head on over to syncomsmalltalk.com and check out the podcast area. We have a weekly podcast and lots more content where this came from. You can also send feedback to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. You can head on over to the Industry Misinterpretations group on Facebook, the Smalltalkers group at Ning. You can head on over to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. And of course, you can go to Podcast Alley and cast a vote for us.